Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an email here from Ben. I like that name.
Perfect.
Hey, Ben and Nathan, I was planning to apply to law school this cycle. Okay, keep in mind this is February 2022, but it took me longer than expected to get my application materials together to give myself the best chance at admissions and scholarship money. I'm planning to apply early next cycle. What should I be doing between now and then to bolster my application? Okay, let's see what else he's got. I graduated from the University of Washington Electrical Engineering Program with an interdisciplinary honors. Oh, sorry, with interdisciplinary honors and a 3.56 GPA. And I scored a 177 on the LSAT. So I would be a splitter at most schools I'm looking to apply to. I graduated in 2019 and have been working for the past 2 years. I've enjoyed listening to the podcast this year! Exclamation point. I don't know. What do you think he should do between now and... Wow.
Before I read the second paragraph, I was going to say, get the best LSAT you can. Ben has already gotten the best LSAT he can, or good enough. 177, we don't need anything more than that. That's 99th percentile LSAT, and it's over the 75th percentile, or at the 75th percentile, even at Yale. So you don't need higher than that. LSAT wise, your grades are what your grades are. He is considering himself a splitter. You know, it's sort of telling these really, really strong applicants, they look at the worst part of their application and they like kind of anchor on that. And I mean, this is a terrific applicant. He should get into many, if not all, of the top schools in the country. The fact that he was an engineering major, you know, with that high of an LSAT, I think that schools are going to be willing to understand that he was an engineering major and that engineering is harder to get good grades. So I don't think that that's going to hold him back even at the very top schools because he has the LSAT to justify it, right? If you think about like Dean Z, who we had on on Thinking LSAT recently, Dean Z would say, oh, okay, well, great. I mean, you're going to help my median in LSAT. You might hurt my median in GPA, but because you're going to help my median LSAT, and then I might look a little closer at your application and see that, okay, you were an engineer. I don't think this dude needs to do anything to help his applications. Do you?
No. I was wondering if we could get more information about his GPA, because are there any... diamonds in here, for example? Yeah, you have a 3.56, but did you have a 3.8 your last 2 years? Did you have a higher GPA in your major? Probably not. I'm guessing that your electrical engineering is what brought your GPA down, but what is there in there that we could highlight in a one or two sentence addendum?
Yeah, I think it's the average GPA for his program. I think that's what he needs to be talking about.
Okay, yeah, talk about that. And where is he in the class? I don't know. Right. I'm just looking for something.
I'm pretty sure that's the thing. For a guy like this, I'm pretty sure that's the thing, is to say, in my electrical engineering program at the University of Washington, I was ranked second in my class of 300. Or whatever it is.
Yep.
And just find a fact like that, write a one or two sentence addendum, and then that's it. As far as what he should do between now and when he applies this fall, which, by the way, thank you, Ben, for following our advice and applying early in the cycle. This is going to work out super, super well for you. I think he needs to just follow his passions. Like, you know, don't talk about your passions in your application, but actually do follow your passions in real life. So whatever it is, like, why do you want to be a lawyer? Start doing that shit. You know, if there's like, if you're interested in intellectual property, then do something related to that. But don't do it because you think it's going to bolster your application. Do it because your legal career has already started. And you should go do those things if you're truly passionate about those things. The other thing I would say is, don't do that at all. Just do what you're passionate about outside of work. So if you want to travel the world, now's the time.
I would add one other thing here. Ben has got the best LSAT score on record that he probably can get, or I don't know if he could, maybe he can get higher. I guess that's not my point. He got a high enough score. He's done there. Like you said, his GPA is done. So there's nothing we can do about that. And those are the two things that matter the most. So I'm going to start talking about Ben's personal statement, but I don't want people to get confused to think that, right. that that's somehow like important. It's only important in the context of a situation in which you've already checked off the two elephants in the room, right? Yep. Your LSAT and your GPA. Okay. And you've thought of this maybe addendum that could highlight some gem in your GPA situation, but I would work on your personal statement. You have the luxury to write two or three. And, you know, when people hear that, sometimes they think, oh, I can't even write one. Like, come on, how am I going to come up with two or three? Lawyers write.
Yeah.
If you can't bang out two personal statements, you're not going to be able to bang out two briefs.
Yeah.
As an attorney,
totally.
Like you need to start developing that skill, and you write two or three, and one of them is going to be like, okay, yeah, that's the winner.
How are you going to do on your law school exams when you have to write a 12-page essay in 3 hours?
Yeah.
For every exam. I mean, like if you're not a reader and a writer, I don't know that you're just like, what do you think you're getting yourself into?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, bang out a few drafts of your personal statement, Ben.
Different stories. Would be
mm-hmm. Yeah. Different ideas, and then see what you've got and pick the ones you like and work on those more. And eventually you'll end up with one that's really good. But I do want to go back to your advice there, Ben, which is we're only talking about personal statements because you've already got your LSAT where it needs to be.
Yeah.
These, you know, some of these like admissions consultants out there, if you come to them brand new day one, they're going to start talking to you about your personal statement when you don't even have your LSAT done yet.
You don't even have it. You don't even have it.
Like total waste of time. It's a waste of energy. You're just like focused on the absolutely wrong thing. And they're going to give you this impression that like, well, the personal statement is a super important part of your application. And it's like, they're giving you this excuse. And you know, I think the reason is because they're not LSAT experts. Like they can't deliver the LSAT score that's going to really move the needle. And so instead they're going to, oh, well, we'll distract you from that with this other thing. And let's get the world's greatest personal statement, which doesn't do shit compared to five more LSAT points. I mean, not even, just different planet.
This is my analogy. You're coming into a shop and you're like, hey, I need to nail some things in my house. And they're like, okay, well, we don't have hammers here, but you know, we got tape and we can show you how to use that tape really well.
Yeah.
And you're like, good. I don't want to hang up my stuff or hammer in my beams with tape. Well, we can't do that here, but we can show you how to do it really well. And that's, you're just getting it wrong.
We could make a million different analogies, you know, like baseball. It's like you want to be a good baseball player, but you can't hit and you can't field. And you come in and somebody's like, oh, well, let's work on your base running. Let's work on your base stealing.
I mean, yeah, look, like, at people who are faster at base stealing, you know, they do better in that situation.
Here's how to steal third base. And it's like, okay, but you can't ever get on first base. You're not going to be stealing third if you can't ever get a hit. And that's what they're doing by focusing on the personal statement before they focus on the LSAT. It's just I don't know, man, that shit's a scam to me. So Ben, yes, work on your personal statement, but that's because Ben has a 177.
Yeah. If Ben had a 170 and was asking us, hey, what should I do between now and September? We'd be
100%
saying
LSAT.
Take the LSAT again.
Yep. 100%. Don't worry about anything else. You know, worry about, well, if you're an undergrad, get straight A's.
Yes.
Don't care what classes you take. Don't care what your major is. Don't care about anything. Get straight A's.
That is true.
If you can do
the LSAT after you graduate. So
right.
Don't come to us. Turn around and focus on your grades.
Put off law school. Get a 4.0.
Yeah.
Come to us. Get a 175 or higher.
Mm-hmm.
And then nothing else in your application hardly even matters. It's like, yeah, then we can talk about the personal statement.
Yeah.
But at that point, you know, like I have never met a high LSAT, high GPA person who can't get into the elite law schools.
Mm-hmm.
That's never happened once.
Yeah.
And so like, why are we looking for these back doors when the front door is just wide open to people who have the right numbers in the first place. Now, if your grades are already behind you, like if there's nothing you could do about your grades, which Ben is worried about his 3.56 in electrical engineering, by the way, which is like, that's probably a good GPA for that major, but still it's only 3.56 and it is going to hurt the medians of the schools that he's applying to. Mm-hmm. That said, they know that the engineers that are coming to their school are going to have lower grades. That's like part of the game for them.
Mm-hmm.
So Ben, there's nothing he could do about it. There's nothing, if you've already graduated undergrad, there's nothing you could do about it. Okay, then we've got to get the LSAT in the right place. Then we can worry about the other shit.
Yep.
And then the other shit also just barely even matters. So, you know, I'm sure Ben is asking for, you know, like he specifically says to give myself the best chance at admissions and scholarship money.
Yep.
Dude, there ain't anything you can do to help you with scholarship money. They're giving you scholarship because of your LSAT.
Yep.
And your GPA and your LSAT.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
UGPA, as Dean Z would call it, right? But that's why they're giving you the money. They're not giving you the money because of an internship or a job or your personal statement. They're giving you the money because it helps them in their rankings.
Yep.
Which is because of your numbers. So he's done what he can do for scholarship. I mean, he's going to apply early. He's going to apply broadly. And he's got the 177 LSAT. And he's going to have full rides to schools all across the country.
Yeah.
Anything else for Ben?
Yeah, here's an idea. So you just said apply broadly. I think that's a key point here, right? We got the LSAT, we got the GPA. He's applying early, which a lot of people don't do. So now you're giving your best chance for a scholarship there. And applying broadly, that's really critical because you could apply to 5 schools and not get the best scholarship offers just because of the way the cards fall at those schools. You need to apply broadly so that you can get several offers from several places and compare them. So along with that, I mean, if you're traveling, if you're someone who likes to travel, stop at a few schools. You have the time. Check them out.
Yeah. And if you're not sure what schools to apply to, go to lsatdemon.com/scholarships and put your 3.56 and your 177 into our estimator.
Yeah.
See what kinds of schools are likely to give you what kinds of offers. And then, you know, create a portfolio. Think about it in like, if this was an investing thing, you would not want to invest in one company. You want to invest in 15 companies. And so think about a portfolio of schools that you're going to apply to. 10 to 20 schools. Are we happy with that as a rough number?
Yeah.
Okay. So 10 to 20 schools that you're going to apply to. Yes, that's a lot. Yes, it's going to be a lot of work. Lawyering is a lot of work. But I mean, the payoff is you're going to end up going to law school for free.
Also, you have to look at the cost of applying to each of those schools. The marginal cost to apply to one more school is so small compared to the potential benefit of a full ride or a full ride plus a stipend.
Yeah. I mean, we're just adding zeros.
Yeah.
Which changes, you know, everything.
Yeah.
Okay. We done with this one?
Yeah, we're done. Thank you, Beautiful. Ben. Email daily@lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.